Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we want to look at a couple of verses, verse 17 and verse 25. Very short verses, but emphasizing what I'd like to emphasize tonight, and that is praying for our missionaries and how to pray for our missionaries. I believe as a church made up of individual people who are born-again believers, I believe that we should be praying for our missionaries. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. That's something we can just do all the time. You can pray in your car going down the interstate. Now, don't close your eyes. God understands. But you can pray, can't you, riding in your car? And pray without ceasing. And then Paul is saying, brethren, pray for us. What was Paul, by the way? Well, would you say he was a missionary? And he is saying, pray for us. So it must be important for people to pray and to pray for our missionaries. And so let me just give you a few reminders and suggestions of how to pray for a missionary. First of all, we need to pray regularly. Regularly. I would say even daily. Take that missionary booklet that we have. In the middle of that, we have all of our missionaries listed, all of our missions projects and all that we support. And some folks sometimes will ask me, why don't we support a certain kind of ministry? And I say, well, we already do that. As a matter of fact, we have two or three of them like that or whatever. And that tells me that they hadn't really looked at the book or whatever. But take it and look at it and know that we have all of these missionaries down here in these different ministries. We minister to youth. We minister in prisons. We minister to Jews. We minister in Bible printing, three different groups that are involved in doing that. We minister in a lot of different ways, even here at home, and then to many of the different mission fields that are listed. I won't read all of these, but you have them. Sometimes we help evangelists so they'll be able to go into small churches that cannot give them a good offering necessarily. Now, some small churches get better offerings than some large churches, but there are a lot of them out there that could not and would not be able to have missionaries in or some other folks or an evangelist, and so we help them. But take that and keep it somewhere and make it your prayer list. We have plenty of these out there. Husband, you may want one. Wife, you take one and just pray for them. You don't have to pray for all of them every day. Break it up over a period of time. Rotate it. When you go through the cycle, come back. Pray for them again. But I believe it's a good habit for us to pray regularly as individuals. Jesus said, and they said, teach us to pray. And part of the Lord's Prayer is give us this day our daily bread. That's a clue. Does that make sense? Give us this day our daily bread. So it indicates to me that God wanted us to pray daily. And certainly we ought to pray for our missionaries and pray regularly. Now, we ought to also pray in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean, preacher? Well, listen to Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. What does that mean, praying in the Spirit? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray in the Spirit. I think that indicates that we need to lean on and depend on the Holy Spirit to help us and to lead us in our prayers. And sometimes we might say something like this, dear Holy Spirit of God, lay a missionary on my heart today that may really be going through problems that I don't know about, but you know about, and impress them on my heart throughout the day and maybe in my prayer time right now, or show me someone like that, someone who has a need that I can help with it or pray for them. Praying in the Spirit. Supplication in the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing, and I believe we need to lean on the Holy Spirit to help lead us in our prayers. And I think sometimes we might get too ritualistic, and I'm almost hesitant to say that for fear that people say, well, he just said don't be ritualistic, don't pray so much every time. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to lean on the Spirit of God and ask the Spirit of God to teach us and show us and lead us, in some cases, what missionaries to pray for that are really going through some trials. And I believe God would lay them on your heart. You might want to send them a letter. You might want to just contact them, but certainly you can do that. And they're ask God to show you particular missionaries and their particular needs. Lord, lay a missionary and his needs on my heart. And then pray specifically and unselfishly. Specifically and unselfishly. James 4:3, a little reminder. God says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Now, what is he saying? Well, the rest of that verse, I think, indicates the context of it. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Sometimes a whole lot of our praying is, gimme, 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 gimme. I need, I need, I need, I need. I want, I want, I want, I want. And it's all right. God says ask, and we know that prayer is asking. That's an element of prayer. I personally don't think that's the only element of prayer. I think adoration and praise, and I think confession is part of it, and I think thanksgiving is part of it, and then supplication is part of it. A-C-T-S. And you may want to jot that down in your Bible to help you with those four areas of prayer. But I do believe that we need to pray unselfishly. We don't just need to say, Lord, bless the missionary, and let that be it. I think we need to say, Lord, bless our missions program, bless our missionaries. Lord, tell me what I can do. Lord, show me where I can get involved. Lord, show me what you want me to be giving to missions by faith. Lord, help me so that I will pray and I will not pray selfishly. We need to pray unselfishly and not always just be praying for what we need, but for the needs of a lost and dying world, people that need the Lord and they need Jesus. And then pray thinking about the missionary's needs. Did you know that missionaries have needs? How many of you remember missionaries would agree with that statement? Raise your hand. Missionaries have needs. They definitely have all kinds of needs. Sometimes when they are there, the same kind of spiritual problems that you and I have here, they have there. Just because they're on the mission field doesn't make them superhuman. Just because they're on the mission field does not mean they're not going to run into some difficulties and problems that are real. And in some cases, given the language barrier and given the cultural difference and the distance they are from many of their friends and loved ones, dear friend, it is difficult. And I don't think the missionaries are crying for sympathy, but I believe we need to understand that our problems are their problems, and in some cases even magnified. There sometimes would be mental stagnation. They have to find time for prayer and reading and studying and to take care of all of the work on the mission field, of that mission, of that church, or whatever their area of service is. And that can be a load for them in many different ways there. Pray for that. And then language problems. And especially, you think of missionaries that are going out, and they're new missionaries, and they've got to go learn a new language. I sure am glad that that's not part of my responsibility to have to learn a new language right now. I'm still working on English and still really having difficult times once in a while, but I believe that we ought to pray for these missionaries. It is not an easy task to go out necessarily and learn a new language, and it takes a good bit of time, maybe a year and sometimes maybe a little more, and they have all of that pressure on them. We need to pray that God would help them as they go into a new culture and learn that language, and God would give them the ability to learn it and learn it very quickly and to learn it adequately so that they can really be able to communicate in the language of the people in that culture, which I think is very important. And then they have the relationship with other missionaries. You know, it's sort of like Baptist people in our local church. Some of them are a little hard to get along with. Well, on the mission field, I've heard missionaries say that some of the missionaries are a little hard to get along with sometimes. There's envy, there's jealousy, sometimes there's criticism, and all of those things. We need to pray for our missionaries that on the foreign field that they would get along with each other. And by the way, the only missionaries in the world are not the ones out of our church. And the only missionaries in the world that we need to pray for and get along with are not just IBFI missionaries. They should be missionaries from whatever stripe they are, as long as they believe the fundamentals of the faith and they're out there trying to win souls and do the work for God, then I think it behooves us to try to be kind to them and get along with them. Relationship with other missionaries. And then relationships with the nationals. Sometimes that takes victory over resentment. Maybe it's a resentment of those people, some of them for you being there, or vice versa. It may be that. And some of the irritations that come with some of that. And then oftentimes, because they're in a different culture and different circumstances that are very, very unlike America. We are so spoiled in America. We really are. And I am too. I'm not knocking you or just criticizing you. We really have a bunch here in America. I mean, we really do. But you go to some of these countries, not all of them are like that. France is a mission field, and they have a lot of modern things, obviously, and some of the other European countries. But you go to some of these countries like India and maybe Cambodia that was mentioned, or some of the other places where missionaries go, and you go to China, if you can get in there, and maybe as an educator or whatever, you're not necessarily in all of those situations. The Philippines, I've been over there, and it's very difficult. And some of the places, yeah, they have some modern cities, but they have some totally cities that are totally not modern. And they have people who live in cardboard houses. I mean, cardboard houses. And that's where they live. And they're poor. And they make maybe in a month what you make in an hour. And yet they have to pay for gasoline. It costs more there than it costs here. And all of those kinds of things are there. But the missionaries are subjected sometimes to some diseases and to some problems physically that they would not have if they were still living right here at home. And sometimes the missionaries have those problems and they have to come back home. Sometimes it's just for a little while. I hired a missionary one time who had some serious health problems that was related to the mission field. And he had to come back home. And I hired him. He's one of the best workers I ever had. Missionaries are not lazy. If they are, they ought to be shot. Amen? Just like preachers. If they're a lazy preacher, they ought to be shot or thrown out of the church or something. But he came back, was one of the best workers I ever had, and he got well, he got healed, and went right back to his mission field. But we need to pray for them. It's a reminder to me that they do have problems, and we hear about it. And let me tell you something. They don't always have the nice hospitals we have. I guarantee you that. In Mongolia, did they have the very nice hospitals like you have Methodist downtown, Brother Bill? They didn't have it. You might die before you get to anything like a clinic somewhere. And we've got to remember to pray for the health of our missionaries, and especially when we are made aware of the fact that they have some health issues, let's get on our knees and ask God to heal them or God to provide whatever is needed. Sometimes they cannot even get the medicine. And we need to remember that these are godly people serving the Lord. Sometimes it's concern over apathy at home. Sometimes they're children. God bless the MKs. And I might say God bless the PKs too. And the DKs. The reason the MKs and the PKs are so mean is because they run around with the DKs. Kids, right? Do you know what DKs are? Deacon's kids. PKs are preacher's kids. MKs are missionaries' kids. But their children sometimes really catch a lot of the brunt of being in a foreign field. They are the outsiders. And sometimes it makes it a little difficult. We need to pray. I'm just giving you some ideas of what our missionaries go through. And then a lot of times, financial pressures. You see, they'll go and maybe they're going to be there for 4 years. Some now coming out more often than that, but typically, maybe they're going over there for 4 years. And during that four-year period of time, there are churches who change pastors. There are some churches who go out of business. And these churches were supporting them. Some may have been supporting them $200 or $300 a month. Not necessarily likely. It might have been their home church. And some new pastor comes in and says, I'm not supporting any of these missionaries. We're cutting them. I'm going to put all of my missionaries of all of my missions organization, all of my fellowship on. And they cut them just like that. Now, I would never do that. I've had three churches, pastored three churches, and we did not cut those missionaries until I realized they might need to be cut, but we didn't cut those missionaries because they need that help and that money to go on. And they cannot come back and raise more money until maybe 3 or 4 years, and they come home on a furlough. And I remember I had a brother-in-law who was in the Air Force. And they would come home, and he was on furlough, and he didn't do anything much. Just sort of took advantage of being on furlough. But that's not what it means to the missionaries. What it means to the missionaries when they come home is, first of all, they've got to get a car they're going to wear out in 1 year. And I mean, a lot of times they wear it out. Well, a lot of times the ones they get wore out before they ever get on the road, and they have to fix them and all of that. But they have to do that. They have to get on the telephone. How would you like to do this? Get on the telephone and every day for 8 hours, just like you're at work, call preachers. Can anything be more depressing than to think that you got to get on the telephone and call preachers all day long and ask them, is there any way that I could come by to your church and present my field? Or is there any way that you might be able to raise the support a little bit? Let me tell you something, folks. I have a stack, I'm not exaggerating, the secretaries know, it's that high in my office of letters that I have gotten, let alone some of the phone calls on those little pink slips they give me. They'd like to give me the real pink slip, but I won't let them do that. But those little pink slips that they give me, and I wish I could support every one of them. We just cannot do it. But we have to seek the Lord's leadership and so on and so forth. But let me say this. They call. They have to get on the phone. That's the only way they can do it. They got to send out letters. They got to get on the phone. And I tell missionaries that are on deputation, look, here's one of the things you got to do. You may not have a regular job, but you do have a regular job. You've got to get on the phone. If you're going to get your support, and the reason some of them take 3 and 4 years is they don't do that. And those who will do it, they can have it in a year or two, maybe 2 years, if they really get with it. But how would you like to do that every day? Especially if you were a single lady calling pastors. And some of them thinking there's no place for single lady missionaries. I totally disagree with that myself. And you say, well, I don't agree with you. I don't really care if you do or not. I know it's all right. It's biblical. You look through there and there it is. And there is a place for single missionary ladies. They have to be very careful and very discreet and so on and so forth. But there's a place for them. And so they have those financial pressures. How many of us like financial pressure? How would you like for somebody just to cut out something and maybe within a month's period of time you lose $600 support and you're trying to build something there? I'm telling you, they need our prayers for those things too, that God would provide. And then we need to pray that somebody will go over and help them. I'm telling you, there's a great need for new missionaries. And all of us ought to pray that Worth Baptist Church will be a place that God works and calls missionaries from. I believe that is one of the great, I think it's one of the great compliments of a church in the 21st century if God's calling missionaries out of that church. And I hope that that always is the case where I'm pastoring a church, that God is still working and people are still responding, and it is so emphasized in the church that it's a good thing and a great thing and a wonderful thing by the parents and all people, that this is a great thing when God calls your children to go to the mission field and calls anybody. So this morning I was talking about some of you young couples or median age couples or whatever, or some of you youth ought to go to the mission field, surrender. One of the men that was going out, he's here tonight. He said, well, what about those old people? He said, can't they go? And I'm thinking foreign missions. And I think, well, they probably could. He said, they're not dead yet. They can do something at home. I said, that's right. They can go to a nursing home. That's missions. Home missions. Amen? Getting awful quiet. That's home missions. Everybody can be involved in missions. We can do it. Pray that others would be sent. Pray persistently. Be as faithful in prayer for them as you want them to be in their work. Be as faithful in prayer for the missionaries as you want them to be faithful in their work. And I know this can sound like a cop-out or whatever, but I've often said to you, and I'll say it again tonight, and I hope you take it in the right way, you get up here what you pray for. So if you don't like what you're getting, you better pray harder, you know, just get on your knees a little bit more, like I have to do for some of you, so whatever. But we do need to pray in all seriousness. Pray persistently and pray. A lot of times I would just encourage your parents, pray during family devotions, amen? We heard something about that tonight, but pray during family devotions. Get some of these letters, copy them or whatever, or have the card of the missionary, take them with you, and then pull it out during family devotion and say, we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for them. Some of you say, well, I got behind some missionaries and this, that, and the other, and they sort of let me down. Well, we've probably let God down before too, hadn't we? But aren't you glad he didn't quit on us? We cannot let one or two missionaries that bomb out or that don't follow through like they said they were going to, and we got behind them and got them going and all of that, and a lot of money that is invested in them, and then they don't stay or they don't go back or whatever. And I'm not talking about for providential reasons. I mean, they just decide, I don't want to do it. And what I'm saying, we can't let some of those things hinder us from going on and praying for and helping and supporting other missionaries, because there's still a need and there's still great people that are surrendering to go to the mission field. And may I encourage you this week, pray for our missions conference. Now let's stand, and here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Those of you who would say, Brother Weaver, I will pray for our missionaries. And I will even make a commitment tonight, maybe in addition to just saying that, I'll pray for our missionaries. I'm willing to pray for this conference. I am going to pray for this conference and pray for our missionaries. And I'm willing to really let God use me to pray more for them. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to have just someone play the piano right now. We won't even have a song. And I'm going to ask you to just step out from where you are after we have prayer. Our heads are bowed. And I don't want you to necessarily come and kneel to the altar. Just come and stand at the front. If you're already at the altar, that's fine. But come and just stand around the front, in front of me, all the way across. If you'd say, I'll do these things. And then I want to have a word of prayer with you. And then we have something else where we'll be introducing some of our new members after that. Lord, help us. Help us to recognize and realize your heartbeat for world missions, for reaching out in the 1040 window and other places, for getting Bibles to people, for doing what we can. Help us to pray for our missionaries. I pray that we'd pray for the conference and attend it. I pray that we would make a prayer list or take this list that we have provided the people with and pray. May you help us to pray, Lord. And we know you honor prayer. Prayer gets the job done. It's not our methodology, not our personality, not our education, not even the amount of money we have. It's the power of your presence upon our ministry. And may you help us to be a praying people for missions and missionaries. In Jesus' name, we pray. If you're here without